There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back. We are so very near the end of this Office Chair to 5K series. We're so close to Cara's final race. On recording this, spoiler alert, breaking of the fourth wall, I'm recording this a few days after we recorded the episode that you're about to hear. We are just a couple of days away from Cara taking on her 5K with us. I'm so excited for it. Genuinely, I really, really can't wait. It's going to be so lovely. Can't wait to watch all the hard work that she's put in come to fruition. And I'm also quite excited about getting a big old, maybe like a pancake, something really nice. We're going to go for a lovely brunch afterwards. Stay tuned because we'll be documenting that. I'm sure you'll see that on our socials. We'll definitely be releasing bits and bobs of footage from that. Let's get into it. I won't keep you for long, but headlines from this week's chat. We're talking a little bit about routes again. Cara is getting a bit fed up of running the same old bits of path over and over again in her village. Also, small village problems. She's finding that if she wants to stay relatively close to home, she's just not got that much village to run around. It's not quite covering more than sort of 20-25 minutes, which as her runs are getting a little bit longer at the moment, as she's nearing that goal 5K, she's kind of struggling to fill that time running around her local area. So we get a little bit overexcited about adventuring and what that might look like for Cara's future running when she's got this 5K done and dusted, what she might want to do and move on to, what kind of goals she might want to set in the future. And she's actually inspiring and encouraging both Esther and me this week to be a little bit braver with our running and take on some, yeah, more exciting routes. Stop saying no. Stop doing the same bits over and over again. As per, check out the show notes. I'm just going to remind you once again that it is a really good time to subscribe at the moment. Not only can you do so for £3.50 a month, but also you can cancel it anytime. If for some reason you're like, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be and you don't like the magazine, you can cancel with no fuss at any point. So it's a very safe, risk-free subscription if you would like to try it out and see what you think of Women's Running Mag. Check out the website as always. Listen to the other pod. Let's get into it.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely pod squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout.
Hello.
Hello.
Hiya.
Oh. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad tired.
Not too bad. Yeah. Yeah, still tired, even though I've been trying really hard to get loads of sleep this week. I think in my general, like in my body and in my sort of in my running, I have noticed that I feel better rested. But when it comes to sitting at my desk in the morning with a coffee, I still feel like death.
I know. I feel like the weather has something to do with it. Like when we had those like 3 days of spring, I really did have a spring in my step. And then it's got back to this weird kind of hot winter.
It's weird, isn't it? I got in sweats on the school run this morning and I was second guessing myself, which I usually don't. I'm usually all right when it comes to sort of health and stuff. But I think I'm in a taper week and I was walking to school this morning, got a complete sweat on and was like, is something wrong with me? And
what's it was also taper week?
This is when it's a very good question. So it's because I'm running the Bath Half on Sunday, and tapering is, well, you know what the concept of tapering is, but the theory before like a half marathon or a marathon is that you stop running quite so much in the lead up to the run. So instead of going, I'm going to run 10 miles this week, 11 miles this week, 12 miles this week, and then 13 miles, I'm going to do my half marathon, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't. You do 10, 11, 12 or whatever, you do your longest run a couple of weeks ago and then you gradually sort of taper off your training
with you.
So that your legs are fresher and your kind of lungs are fresher. It just gives you kind of as much rest as you possibly can before race day. So anyway, that's where I am. This is for the other pod really, but the taper means that I am, I've got all of the bad feels. This classic taper kind of paranoia where you just think I'm really ill. I'm shit. I can't run. I can't, because you're not doing your normal running and you're kind of just sat in a great big kind of pile of pasta. That's the other thing that you do during taper week, because you're kind of upping all your carbs. And it's a brilliant week.
Yeah.
Apart from the paranoia where you're going, there's something wrong with me, which I think is reflected in my hair. And this is for the listener.
Your hair looks great. Do yourself
down. I think your hair looks really nice as well.
My hair goes mental. I think it goes mental when I'm really stressed. And I think because you do this. And so then I come on here and it's only when I put the camera on, I'm like, fuck, it looks like I'm wearing a hair helmet.
I think it gives you volume, your scrunching.
Scrunchy hair.
It does. It brings the volume.
Look like a mental. Anyway. Yeah, stress hair.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about this? Because I was stress hair aside, we'll come back to it, we'll circle back to stress hair. But I was just going to say about tapering, because I have been wondering, because, okay, spoiler alert, and we'll ask you about your running cart, but you have mentioned
this week. It's relevant because I don't have tapering, so
No, yes. Exactly. You don't have any tapering on your plan. And obviously you have said that you found this week quite tough. We'll talk about it in more detail. But as a quick thing, like generally, like Esther said, you do a 2-week taper before a half marathon probs. That's what I would do. 3 weeks before a marathon, most people do. And it doesn't mean you stop running completely, but yeah, you'll really like bring down your kind of distances and you might stop doing quite so much in the way of like really tough stuff like intense strength training or whatever. But is there such thing as tapering for a 5 or a 10K? Because on the plan, and here we are again slagging off the plan that supposedly is from us.
We can adjust the plan, though.
We can adjust the plan. That, like, your week this week is looking like, final week, by the way, hooray, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, and then your goal 5K. That seems like a lot in the space of 6 days or whatever it is. And I was just wondering whether there's such thing as tapering to a degree. I'm sure it wouldn't be like 2 weeks, but like tapering to a degree for slightly shorter distances, because they're still long distances that you need to have fresh legs for.
They are. They are. And I, like, for 10K, definitely. I've definitely tapered for ahead of 10K races. Not a huge amount, but I've definitely, by tapering, what I mean is, like, if I would normally run 3 or 4 times a week and I've got like a 10K race on a Sunday, and I would normally run on, say, Friday and do a strength training on Saturday, like just those 2 days before, I would probably not do my strength training because you don't want any kind of muscle aches or whatever. And if I did run on Friday, I would keep it very short and just super, super, super easy. Mm-hmm. So like, so that's for a 10K. So I wouldn't do like a big, long, week long, but then I'm not a fast runner. And I think if you're a fast runner and you are trying to kind of get a PB for a 10K, it's a whole other kettle of fish. Mm. So like, those people will be running far in excess of 10K in the weeks leading up to the 10K. And so yes, they would definitely taper. And the same is true of 5K. I think if you've been building up slowly to a 5K in the way that you've been doing, Cara, I don't think a taper is that necessary. But I absolutely agree. I think going from, what were you doing before? What's the week before the 30-35?
Before the 30-35, we're doing 25-25-28.
Jeez. Yeah, that is a really big jump. That is a really big jump. And
I think it's how long the runs, not, I mean, I know that they're pretty much the same length of time as at the beginning of the process, but I suppose it's how knackered the runs kind of make you, because it's more about that stamina rather than, not that we were sprinting doing the intervals, and I don't want to go back on myself to say that I prefer the intervals than continuously running, because I do like the continuously running. But I think it's the stamina required, and it started to leak into my brain going, oh, another run, rather than thinking like, oh, it's a quick, easy run, we've got this down. Because I think the last few weeks there have been quite a lot of jumps, and I'm just quite tired. I think my body feels like it's telling me, and don't worry, I won't, guys, I won't add another week into everyone's anticipation of if I do this 5K. I will do the 5K. But I think in a dream world, and maybe advice for if other people feel the same and if you guys agree, it's just that I feel like it would be right to almost repeat this week a little bit, or maybe just go a little bit freelance in terms of what my body is feeling like pushing itself next week before it goes to the 30 minutes.
Cara, you're speaking like an absolute runner, and that is that. I mean,
nice.
Oh, you totally are. Because the whole thing about plans, those blooming training plans, which I love and we've got, and they're great and we've got loads of them, and you know, whatever, but they are supposed to work around you. You're not supposed to be kind of like self-flagellating if you don't do everything that's on the plan. That's not how they work. So I think it makes way more sense for you to do like a run from this week next week and then do your 5K. I think that makes much, much more sense. And you should absolutely listen to yourself. And if we weren't doing a finite podcast series that was going to finish next week, I would say to you, absolutely, repeat a week or even go back a week and then keep on going until you feel comfy with it.
Yeah, because I think, like, obviously we're trying to reach that 5K mark, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more next week about what's coming up next. So tune in next week, guys. But there is that.
She's a broadcaster.
Like, she is. Yeah.
There is the kind of following the 5K. I don't necessarily think I'm going, like, the week after, I don't think I'm going to run another 5K. I don't think it's going to continue past that point. I'll probably want to stop for a while and then maybe revisit like the 20 minutes or the 25 minutes try and like keep around above a 20 minute mark essentially, but kind of see how my body feels whilst doing that. I think that that's where I am. So I guess it's a bit of a sprint to the finish line in trying to complete this 5K and have a tick next to what I'm trying to achieve. But yeah, now that I'm in this kind of, whilst I know it's not long, I don't know if it's long distances because I'm still not recording my distance, which I will do today to just find out. But yeah, whilst it's longer kind of time on my feet running, it just feels like I could be a lot more flexible with it. I feel like I could not time myself. I feel like I could go out and then just see when I start getting knackered.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely, you could. And actually, to be honest, a lot of my routes, because I've got like so many from doing sort of various sort of training plans or whatever, I've got lots of routes in my head. We were talking about this last week, and this can move on to routes in a sec, but I've got lots of routes in my head from my front door that are various distances. So I know what a 3 mile, 4 mile, 5 mile, 6, I know what they all look like, and they're all slightly different. And so when I'm not actually training for something, I do specifically just think, what would be a nice route to run today? And that would be a nice place to get to for you, wouldn't it? I think to just sort of think, right, you know what would be a nice 20 minute route, so just do that. And absolutely, you don't have to think about whether that is 3k, 4k, 5k, 6k. You just need to think, well, that'd be nice, that'd be a nice thing to do, and I know that I'm going to feel lovely afterwards.
So. Yeah, absolutely, that. And like we're talking about routes, I would say around the village, that's a 20, max a 25 before I'm starting to double on myself and go up this road and back down a road and all of those things to just try and make up time. So I think on the regs, to continue running, like a 20, 25 minute at lunchtime or whatever is kind of a perfect little buzz around, got some exercise, got out of the house, my office chair to 5K concept. But yeah, like you said, I think I'm getting to the point, and I'm sure if other people are listening and are working towards their 5K and uncovering this for the first time, I'm getting to the point where I'm really looking forward. It's like it's becoming a hobby thing where I'm like, I'm looking forward to what routes there are and where you could go. Like I have it with walking, and obviously you do walking holidays or whatever. You're like, oh, I'd really like to climb there, or I'd really like to do this. And I'm not saying I would base my entire holiday around running. I'd probably not be running on holiday, to be perfectly honest. but I do feel that thing of like, where is around me that is nice routes that gives me a change of scenery, that potentially pushes me past my little 20 minute buzz around the village, that feels like a bit of a change of scenery. I don't know.
That's lovely, Gar. That's so nice. I think that's such a motivation that, like, so often, I think as runners, we like who need motivation to get out. I'm so jealous of people who just wake up and go, I can't wait to go and run for half an hour today. I still kind of need something that gets me going. And so often we look to like, yeah, improving a time or running longer or further or whatever it is. And I think having sort of bucket list routes is a really nice way of doing it. I think that's how I'm sort of feeling towards races at the moment as well. Like Esther was talking about having done the Barcelona half recently, and I was like, I don't really have, I've done quite a few half marathons now, so I don't really feel like it's like a that race itself is something that I desperately really really want to push towards, but I really would like, I'd love to train with the goal in mind of like having that beautiful route to run. I think that's a really nice thing, and we should all do that more. Write in, dream place to run. What's your dream route? Let us know.
It's dream like far away dreams, like routes and stuff, but it's lovely to figure out those routes that are near home as well. And that's where I do use Strava a lot and also talk to runners that I know that live close by me to figure out where they're going. Because I was just, there were a couple of people that I knew, and they just kept on doing these routes and taking photographs on their routes and putting them on Instagram. And I was like, where are you? That looks really nice. You know, and it took me ages years to figure out where they were going. I felt like I was kind of encroaching on their personal life by sort of saying, actually, could you tell me where that is, that little loop that you keep on doing? It looks really nice. But it really helped, because it feels like my running has transformed in the past 10 years. I used to always do a specific road-based lap that was my 3 mile, and I was just doing that over and over and over and over and over again. And for the last, what, 2 years, 3 years, completely changed. Like, so I've just totally changed it to a complete, it's another loop, and I'm doing that one over and over and over again. But it's much nicer, it's much more picturesque, much nicer things to look at. It's kind of much more fun. It's much more kind of motivating.
So, I think I'm kind of coming to running with a bit of like a walker's mindset of someone who enjoys walking for scenery. But I think that is definitely my key motivation. And I've never hugely understood, like, I am competitive with myself, but like I said, I'm more motivated by the idea of this being a new way that I can go and explore nearby places, especially with Pablo. Yeah, I think it's that root thing essentially that ticks my boxes. And I just want to, like you said, Esther, finding things that are nearby, because for practicality reason, but also just, I don't know, you feel kind of like you know your area. Like, I moved maybe a year and a half ago, and when you start uncovering all of these little nooks and crannies, you're just like,
do you know what? It's the best. I moved to Bath when I was 19, right? So that's 31 years ago. And yet I went for a run with a friend about a year ago, right by my front door. And we went a route I had never been and discovered a road I had never walked down or run down or anything. And it opened up a whole world of change for me. It was just like, this is completely mind-blowing. And I sometimes don't have the kind of confidence to kind of take the footpath that where the signpost is and think, I wonder what that's going to do. But if you've got a bit more time, and particularly if you explore it on foot when you're walking, I'm sure there's ways in
that's
which
my favorite way of doing it. I keep scoping out, I keep walking and then being like, I wonder what's down here. Well, this would be a good running route, and that gets me motivated for the next run, even if I don't always go and do that specific thing. But it's that's the part I think I've most enjoyed of this whole thing.
Oh, that's great. It was just making me think about Anna McNuff, who has been on the pod and has been on the cover and stuff of the magazine, that she's taught before. She's like a Girl Guide ambassador or something, or she at least used to be. And she's talked before about this idea of like women and adventuring, and how we're not necessarily encouraged to adventure, because so often, I think, for very valid reasons, often, I know it's a nuanced discussion, that like we're nervous about going into areas that we've not been before in case they might not be safe, or but also just like generally there is like a bit of a sort of, I feel like we're taught to sort of stick to what's safe, stick to the beaten track kind of thing. And it reduces our joy so much if we're not able to just go like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, I'm just going to run down that road and see what's there. And like, it is really fun. But I have exactly the same. I'm such a silly little creature of habit that I see my brain doing it where it's like danger, danger, just at the idea of, running down a little bit, going up a slightly different, off a different fork. I'm like, but what if I get to the end of that and it's a brick wall rather than a gate and I can't actually turn around? And it's like, so? But there's still a little part of my brain that's like, I have to do exactly what I did before, because then I know that it's exactly this distance or whatever, rather than just being like, let's just see.
Yeah. And I feel like I am that person. And I'm also the person where I like things to be rigid and planned and sorted. So if I get thrown off track, I'm like, well, this is the end of the world. It's completely the end of the world. Whereas I've run with friends of mine who I felt have been, they seem to be quite similar to me, I thought, in kind of temperament and stuff. But they're the sorts of people that would go for a run, would see a field which is completely boggy, and quite happily would just turn tail, run back, find another route, whereas I would probably more likely plow through, because that's really? The, far more.
That's very interesting. That's difference great. In psychology. And I wonder if it is, I think it's definitely a difference between training and not training. I feel like there's got to be, because obviously with training, it's like, I suppose when you get to your guys's level of training, you're trying to complete certain goalposts in order to reach a final goal, which is the same as 5k, but with less distance. Usually you can run down one road and back again and it's okay. But so I think I definitely understand it from that point of view of logic of, what if I don't do my 6 miles, what if it's 5.5 miles, because I haven't kind of calculated it right. But then there's also, like you said, the psychology part, because I love when you see a footpath and you don't know where it goes, and my favorite thing is doing it on my own. Like, because sometimes when I'm with people, they're like, oh no, you don't know what's that way. Like, let's just, you know, yeah, come on, we want to go home and things. And I love being on my own. And that's, I think, me. That as coming back to a dog, having a dog. Sorry, I wasn't calling you a dog, Hol. Coming back to a dog. I feel like that was a major reason of getting a dog, because I feel like I've got this little companion that I can, he wants to know what's that way and I want to know what's that way. And then running kind of fuels that a little bit. So,
Cara, you're speaking like a classic trail runner.
Oh, like, I'm excited.
You are absolutely not headed for some kind of crappy concrete road marathon. What you're headed for are these fun trail things. I mean, it's like, that's definitely the happiest I have ever been on foot, has been the trail things I've done, which I hesitate to even use the word. I'm saying things because I don't want to say runs, because like when I've done them, there's been a huge amount of walking and a huge amount of chatting and a huge amount of eating, with some little ploddy bits on the kind of flat bits in between. And like the one that I've signed up for in September, it gives you the opportunity to decide whether you want to do a hike and a walk, run, or a, you know, run and walk, or, you know, it gives you all these opportunities to do it. And there is no pressure on time, because you know there's going to be hills and you know there's going to be mud, and you know it's like, it's just take your time and get from A to B in the method of which you want to. And it's just so much more relaxed than these kind of,
I was thinking that earlier,
marathons and half marathons.
Yeah, when Carl mentioned about approaching it from a walker's perspective, I don't want to freak you out, Carl, but all the people that I've spoken to who have ended up being ultra runners are people who started walking and then got really into, like, we've been into it in the past, haven't we? We've gone on like walking holidays, granted, we've like done one big walk and then we've drunk wine for 3 days, but we've done
there was a walk
I think quite often those people are people who've like, they're in some sort of walkers association and they do lots of big walks, and then it gets to a point where that gets a little bit like, oh, how can I up the stakes of this a little bit, and then they whack a pair of trail shoes on and maybe they'll run the downhills, and then before they know it, they're the sort of person who does like a 24-hour ultra run. And it's like, to me, I find it very difficult to understand how you get to that point. But I think that's what happens, is it sort of spirals from a walking thing and a love of trails to, well, I might as well run a bit of this, because it gets made to be a bit quicker.
That's Jasmine Paris, isn't it? She was she was always hiking with her family, and as a method of travel. So it was like, because she lived in the Highlands somewhere in Scotland, it was how she would get to school was a big old hike. And literally it was just because she just wanted to get there quicker that she started moving a little bit faster on her feet, and that was it. And Jasmine Paris famously for a long time held the record for the spine race. So this is where you're heading.
Yeah.
So this is a
spine race candidate.
Yeah. So in January, along the Pennine Way, 268 miles, and I think she did it in 84 hours or something.
It was insane.
So you could do that. I think that's,
that's
definitely
the
your
next goal.
Very easy next step.
Well, I feel like
to spine race, the next podcast series that we're.
I was, I talked about, my dad and my family live out in New Mexico. And also I checked with my stepmom, because last week I said something about, he refers to it as like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I can't remember what I referred it to, but she corrected me. He refers to it as the pain cave when you get so focused in your own head at the end that you just don't think of anything else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know if you should be in that much pain.
No, I know that cave.
Yeah, and as part of where they live up in the mountains, and they have trails like mountain bike trails and a bunch of stuff kind of really from their front door. And so whenever I'm out there, like I have a Jeep and things like that, and it's very much like a big part of what we do is go out and try and find new trails or look online and see where a trail has gone, whether it's on the Jeep or a mountain bike or whatever it is. It's all about trails. Like you're still looking at the same thing, but it's finding a new way to get there. And yeah, when you're avoiding the tarantulas and things like that. But I love the concept of it. I love just like leaving the front door and being like, where are we going? I don't know.
But see, that I do love.
I'm trying to train myself.
Yeah. Well, no.
Except for the tarantulas.
Except for the tarantulas, yeah. I mean, I love that as that's almost the first thing I do now when I go on holiday is like I know where I'm going on holiday in August, and it's only Devon, but still I'm like the last time we were kind of nearby going on holiday near here, I wasn't trained to where I am now. So I know that I can do much more interesting routes, and there's much more different, you know, so I'm already checking for, because it's going to be a 2-weeker. So it's like, right, are there any races going on in August? Where's the nearest park run? What routes are there on Komoot and Strava? I'm already plotting it like months ahead, because I'm like, I'm getting really excited about having a change of scenery and doing something a bit more exciting.
That's lovely. I feel like that about moving house. I'm a bit nervous because I'm so used to, like I was saying, this is my pathetic get out of my comfort zone thing. This is utterly pathetic, but I'm so used to where I live, and I go down the hill and then I'm on the flat, and then I can do a loop that if I sort of loop round onto the canal path, then it stretches as far as I want it to be, so I never really have to venture further than that path. That I just have to do a loop of however many miles I need to do, kind of thing. And I'm a bit scared that I'm moving moving to somewhere that's got a gorgeous nature reserve behind it with goats and all sorts, endangered horseshoe bats and things, but it's really steep. It's on the side of a hill, the house, and I don't know, I presume this is on the side of a hill, this house, it's fine. I'm sure I will be able to find a route that is relatively flat, but I have no idea where that route is and what it's going to look like. You know, I'm saying this out loud, and it's probably just going to be that canal path, just a slightly different bit of it.
Do you not love the feeling of being a bit lost? Like, does it not kind of excite you?
No, I wish it did.
Aww. We need to go on more walks together.
Yeah, I will. I swear to you now that next time, I solemnly swear that next time we go for a walk together and you do that thing of like, what's down there? I will come with you. I won't go,
I think the next mission on your guys' run should be get a bit lost.
I solemnly swear that next time we go on one of these walks, I will allow some of your childlike joy at being lost. And I will come with you down a weird, spooky path rather than...
She says that she likes horror and zombies, won't go down the unknown path.
I know, right?
Time.
It's actually just made me think when I was little, maybe it stems from the fact that the main walk that we used to go on from my aunt and uncle's house in Cornwall was down what we referred to as Ghost Lane, because it was like really dark, bit spooky, Ghost Lane.
It'll make you run faster though. I'll never forget being little when you're out in the dark and you got to a spooky bit. I never ran so fast in my goddamn life. So there we go. I found the trick for us all.
A bit of fear is good. I remember also me and my childhood best friend Lil, we used to absolutely leg it up the hill to her house because there were these dogs that lived at the bottom of the road, and one of them bit a neighbor once, and we were really, really scared of them. So you would walk past the house, we'd like creep, creep, creep past, but then you'd hear one of them go, rah, rah, and we would go, yeah. Absolutely leg it up that hill.
Which, and all of that would be great if it didn't also affect like how you feel, how your breathing is when you're running, because I can't, this is why the kind of the zombie app, which I know that you're keen on,
I'm a traitor, I've never actually used it, I just love the idea.
But the reason why I don't love the idea is because I think, right, to run with some rising panic is not a way in which, particularly from this ancient asthmatic over here, this is not a good thing to do to my lungs, to make them do that even more. But I think, but I know that I've raised that, but I have raised that on purpose because I know that, Kari, you were interested. So I know, thank you very much.
Such a good segue.
Yeah, we clocked it. We clocked it, but the audience were none the wiser. Now they are. I had some things that I wanted to share with you about breathing because I found this piece that we have on the Women's Running website. Maybe we'll link it in the bio or something. We probably won't. You'll have to go and find it. That Anna Harding wrote for us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really interesting. So I'm going to start with the bit that talks about being a beginner runner, Kar, because it basically says to forget all of what you're about to hear. Because okay. If you're at the point where, well, I don't know, this is worth asking you. Are you still at the point with your running where you feel like you're struggling for breath when you run?
I don't think so. I guess I am still pushing myself. So there are periods in the chunks of time that I am struggling, and then I get into a bit of a rhythm.
Yeah.
And I don't think about breathing so much. But I my questions around breathing were more around the times of struggling. Like, do you go with it? Do you kind of allow yourself to be like, or do you try and like slow breathe and, you know, in through your nose, out through your mouth, and like slow your heart rate down during those times? That's what I've been like. What do you do when you are struggling? Because when you're not struggling, that's fine.
Yeah. I lean in. I tend to breathe however I feel I need to breathe, and my breathing settles into quite a nice pattern. I'm also a huge panicker when it comes to breath. So I was just reading about the fact that the reason that we get that sort of panicky breathing thing is because you reach something called your ventilatory, I think maybe, threshold, which is when your body needs more oxygen, but obviously you're doing cardio, you can't breathe quickly enough to sort of fulfill your body's need for oxygen. And that's why you're slightly doing the like breath. But I think if you're past that, which I tend to have a bit of that, but it tends to be a bit psychological when I first start running, where I'm like, I can't breathe. And then
first mile to the pattern.
Yeah. It does say that once you're in the pattern, I think certainly not like trying to slow your breath, because obviously you want to a degree, keep your heart rate going, and like your breath is doing that on purpose because your heart is beating fast and you need that oxygen flow. But I never knew this, breathing deeper towards your belly rather than chest breathing. I think I do majority chest breathing when I run, and I would associate belly breathing with like things when I'm in quite a relaxed state, like yoga or singing or other things like that. But this does suggest that if you do diaphragmatic breathing, so right down into your diaphragm where your belly's expanding rather than your chest expanding, that is the most optimal way to sort of intake breath. I think it's not something that we should all be like desperately worrying about when we run. I think that just trying to
survive,
make sure that you're getting enough oxygen in is the main thing, so that you don't hit that threshold thing where you're like and have to stop.
But
if you are at a point where you're feeling more comfortable with your breathing and you're conscious of it and you're like, how should I, then I think just gently course correcting, trying to make sure that you're breathing into your diaphragm rather than keeping, because I guess so, like any of those things, you're taking more air in if you're breathing deeply rather than into your chest, which is always going to be quite shallow breathing, and you'll need to do a lot of them in order to get oxygen in.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys ever had it, but like, yeah, I used to sing, and it always used to be about, you know, breathing into your diaphragm and pushing from your diaphragm. I don't know what my goddamn diaphragm is, and like I really struggle to breathe into kind of my stomach. Like I can breathe into my chest so easily, and I have to so focus, and it feels uncomfortable to breathe in my diaphragm. Do you guys have the same thing, or is it just like you have to train yourself to do it? Is that?
I think you have to train yourself to do
I think it's a bit of a training thing.
If you do a bit more singing, like Hol's doing currently, I'm sure that you kind of, you get more used to doing that sort of and yoga for sure. But I honestly think I do find it really interesting that I it's the question that I get more than anything else on women's running from new runners is always about how do I breathe?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really interesting because I think as you become a more kind of practiced runner, you realize that the breathing isn't the thing that you need to be focusing on, that,
yeah.
it feels like it should be, because that's the bit that's hard, because that's your lungs working really hard. But I think as you train your cardiovascular system and that becomes more and more strong, you don't worry about it. And I mean, I start breathing heavily within seconds of running and I absolutely lean into it. But I do remember reading pieces that were telling me that I needed to potentially like breathe in for two steps and breathe out for two steps or something like that, or breathe in for, and I found that counterintuitive on a run. It's really hard to try and match your breathing to something that you're, particularly if you're like, if elevation changes, you start going uphill, or you've just been going for longer and longer and longer, and so your heart rate is going up and you do have to breathe more deeply. I think that it's a way you sort of need to try and unpanic yourself from what your breathing is doing. Mm. And just as Holly says, like lean into it and just allow yourself to take those big gulps of air when you need them, because your body does need them at that point.
Yeah.
So it's all about taking oxygen in.
I find it really helpful for anxiety, because that's how I've always had, I've never known what it was called until recently, that it is called air hunger. Well, I think that's probably just a very like Philistine description of it, but that's what I've heard people refer to it online recently. And I was like, oh, I get that. That makes me, I understand it's a thing, where basically you're feeling really panicky about the idea that you can't get enough air in. I do that sitting down. So I quite like it when I run, because it sort of reminds, it's like normal to do that sort of thing. And it reminds me that it's fine and I won't die. And that it's absolutely fine to be sort of taking those big gulps of air in. I think the only thing that this piece is saying is that it's not necessarily the most efficient way to breathe, but if it's what you got to do, it's what you got to do. And I think until you're at a point cardiovascularly where you are super comfortable with breathing and you're not going during a run, which everybody does. I do halfway through training for a half marathon. I'm sure Esther does training for multiple halves and marathons recently. But I guess if you are at a point where you're feeling much more comfortable with it, then that's when you can start thinking about breathing in. But I think the diaphragm car, to answer your question about that, it sort of feels like you're pushing like down almost on something underneath your lungs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I can definitely, like, obviously because it's kind of trying to inflate your stomach area, but it's almost like I can't get as much breath in as if I do chest, or I get to a certain point and then I start filling my chest up as well, because it's like,
yeah,
you know, it only extends too far. But I'm just recalling back to my singing teacher and my choir teacher, who would literally put her hands on my stomach and be like, sing from your diaphragm. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. What are you? And she's like, it needs to come out. And I was like, I'm trying. It's already as far out as it can go. I don't know why I have a disconnect with that. I can definitely do it, but it's definitely not natural.
But I think it's like being a mouth breather or a nose breather as well. I'm sure it's a similar thing, that I think you can definitely train it, but there is a natural thing that you do. I am a mouth breather. Can we talk about this? And do you breathe through your mouth or your nose when you run?
Oh, always mouth.
Yeah, always. I was going to say.
And I think I have read things about how you're supposed, right? Okay, again, how you're supposed to run, right? I read ridiculous articles saying, like, if you want to run easy, the way that you can check that you're running easy is if you're breathing through your nose. Rather than, I breathe through my nose when I'm on a run for about the first four steps. That's it. And then after that, I need to get as much oxygen in as I possibly can. I have, my lungs are the size of peas, so I need a lot of oxygen going in. And do you know what the other thing is? That I also find myself comparing my breathing to other people's breathing when I'm in races. So I listen to them and I'll, like, they'll run past me or I'll run past them and I'll listen to their breathing and think, oh God, they're breathing so quietly. And I'm like,
this is something I'm worried about next week with running with you guys, because I'm like, what if I'm breathing really loudly and what if I can't talk? Well, I mean, we talked about talking with friends and things, but yeah, what if my breathing is completely whack? Like, and you guys are like, all right, calm down.
Oh, no, God, don't worry. No, that's no. one of my big fears with running as well. I hate being watched. And for years, I didn't want to run with anybody else. I hated the idea of doing like a, yeah, running event or something with, I don't find it so weird with strangers, but I find it weird with people that I know. And because that they might have an impression of me. And I might fundamentally disappoint them that I'm not a good enough runner. But no, honestly, none of us care. Nobody cares. If you're faster than me, then I'll be like, great, okay, this will be a good opportunity for a tempo. Let's pick it up. If you're slower, I will love that because I'll be like, great, let's go for an easy one. Happy to provide, because I've been doing a little bit, not loads, but I've done two or three runs with Lex recently as part of this training plan because she's been training for half marathon as well. And majority of the time I let her talk to me, but I have been trying to practice my talking so that I can talk to you on this 5K. And I managed to successfully talk quite a bit on our 5K we did the other day. So I'm ready. I'm practicing my talking. We are fully expecting to entertain you the whole way around rather than absolutely the other way around. And no one will judge your breathing. I quite like, do you ever remember when you were a kid doing like cross country or something and doing a little song, like a little as you went along?
I never did cross country. No. I never really did running.
I always had to. I was always forced. I think because I'm smiley, I gave the impression that I was keen, which was really not the case.
I didn't do Duke of Edinburgh or any of that stuff. Anything that required talking to other people, I avoided.
You would have loved Duke of Edinburgh, to be fair, Carl. You would have loved a bit of that.
I still had to do it with other people. I just
you
wanted
did. You
it
had to
own.
Do a group walk and a camp. We walked and then camped and then walked home. And I,
not for me.
Main thing that I remember was everybody being on their periods and all of us just being like, why the fuck has this happened on this?
Honestly. But yeah, it's a funny one with breathing. I remember so vividly, again, hit Bath, always referring to Bath and how hilly it is. But on the walk home from work, you had to go up quite a steep hill and it's on a very close road with cars. And I'll never forget, I used to walk up that hill every day and it didn't matter how many times I did it, out of breath, like gasping for air by the top of it. And every time I was trying to slow my breath down, but not because of like anything to do with me, because I was like, think about the cars passing. Think about the fact that they might be thinking that I'm out of breath climbing this hill and how unfit I must be. And it's like, it's mental. Like, of course it's hard to climb up that hill.
Yeah, that
and
is
so, crazy. Yeah, it's such a funny thing with breathing and how conscious you are of people judging you on your level of breath.
It really triggers my air hunger thing as well. If I'm like, have you ever, okay, this is a really funny example that I've just thought. You know, when you're watching a film and someone that you fancy comes on, but you're like watching it with your partner. And so you're like, oh, I can't be like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're hyper aware.
So you're hyper aware. So you're trying to be like,
everything is normal. Absolutely.
It really triggers
that.
It. And then I'm like really overthinking it.
If there's like a sex scene and you're watching it with your parents,
oh yeah,
exactly the same
and you're like,
thing.
Don't
where you're
just
like,
react. Don't.
Everything is normal. Everything is completely fine.
Okay, Hol, I need to ask, who is it that comes on screen that makes you have to monitor your breathing?
Oh, okay. My current person who comes on screen that have you guys watched The Bear? Karina, you've watched. Have you?
Yes.
I haven't. No.
The main guy in The Bear, I believe his name is Jeremy Allen White.
It is.
Yeah.
He's a big crush for me at the moment. And Doug actually cottoned on to me the other day because I think I mentioned that I was like, made a bit of a joke where I was like, oh, he's quite attractive. And he was like, of course you fancy him. I didn't realize I had this type. He was like, he's a weird looking bloke who's passionate about something. And I was like, there we go. That's my type, clearly.
There is a theme about Hol fancying anyone who is on the telly, though. So
yeah, these guys take the piss out of me all the time for it. But if I say I fancy someone who comes on screen, they're all like, of course you do. He's on the telly. Apparently I fancy everyone on the telly.
What's problematic about Jeremy Allen White is that I really think he looks like a close mutual friend.
I know
friend.
Exactly the mutual friend that you think he looks like.
So and I understand why you're controlling
now.
Your breathing because now you've
got that association. Yeah, because now I'm going to have to think that even more. Now the cat's out of the bag and he knows I fancy him. But now He's gonna, yeah, he does look massively like a mutual friend of ours. Yeah,
so he is a very weird looking guy. Calm. His mouth is too far down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, he's been in the Calvin Klein advert, so I think it's quite, yeah, so it's quite mainstream now.
No, I'm looking at this picture here where his mouth is too far down.
Right.
Put Calvin Klein quite mainstream in after his name.
Yeah, it's come up. It's come
okay,
up.
It's come it. Up.
His mouth is still far down, but he is wearing pants in this.
But he's hot in that show because he's like, he's a bit troubled. He's an angry chef. You have to watch it, Esther. It's so good. The Bear is really, really brilliant.
I have heard it's amazing. Yeah,
it's
I would love to watch it. Yeah.
It's very tense watching, isn't it? It's not very relaxing, but it's so good.
So apart from controlling our breathing with fancying men on the telly and sex scenes with our parents, I will try not to do that during running. Yeah.
The most panicked I've ever been with my breathing is when I had someone on the podcast who was teaching me how to do box breathing. And I just remember I had to pretend I was doing it and I wasn't at all. So, you know, do you know the concept of box breathing?
No.
Where you breathe, so think of a square and you breathe in for two and hold for two, then out for two, then hold for two. And she was like, and I remember her, I pretended that I'd done it and I was, I couldn't hold for two. And I couldn't do any of it. I couldn't do any of it at all. I was just completely sort of, I don't know, like rabbit headlights type stuff. And at the end of that, she was like, so you should feel really relaxed now. And I was going, gerbil heartbeat and everything. It was just awful. Yeah. So,
I don't bother with any of that anymore. My therapist said to me, don't, I'm absolutely not saying if some of those things work for people who are listening, absolutely go for it. But specifically, I guess also because I have this weird air thing that like, but I think it's very normal for all of us to panic when we overthink and it's like, can I breathe? Maybe I can't. It's like, of course we start doing that. And my therapist was like, never fucking do one of those again. Absolutely never. If you're doing a meditation or something and somebody goes, breathe in for six and out for, but she was like, scrap those now, never do one of those again. And I haven't since.
Because it is, it's breathe in for 28 and breathe out for 32.
And then I might forget forget to tell you to breathe in again because I've moved on, started talking about something else. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, it's the stopping. It's the not doing anything that is when you start feeling like you're suffocating in your own lungs.
Yeah.
That's when, like, sometimes it works and sometimes it's like I chill and I stop and I'm like, nothing. And then sometimes, it's just like trying to not suffocate in my own body. I don't know. It's for some people and it's not for others, isn't it? But it's kind of, it's just a relief to not, because I have been thinking about breathing quite a lot and being conscious of my breathing. And I kind of have tried a couple of different things when I have been running. But in general, like now I feel like I've got the green light to just not think about it at all and just do what my body is telling me.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah, that is a very good green light for me now. I like that. Thank you.
I'm going to take that into, I'm going for a run today and I'm going to take that into that run as well. I'm going to go lead with the body rather than the brain on that. Let the body decide what the breathing is going to be and go with it rather than trying to control it. Thing we don't have to bother thinking about. You think about so much.
Exactly. And if anyone is watching you, like, you know, you always have that concern about people in cars watching you or people kind of walking, watching you. None of them are fucking running, are they?
Sat
in the car. They're just, you know, lazy bastards. So,
Judge them.
Lazy bastards. Exactly.
Judge them for their lack of breathing.
Yes.
Yeah. Idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good luck for your run today.
Thank you very much. Yeah, 28 minutes. And then, as Hall said, 30 minutes. 5k. So
I will see you
guys next week for the existential crises of what happens now.
It's gonna be so fine. We're gonna be with you every step of the way. I like the fact that we're all doing it together because I think that feels like it takes the pressure off you, but also I weirdly feel like it takes the pressure off us as well for this podcast. Like, we're just gonna go and have a silly little run and then we'll talk about it afterwards and it will all be absolutely fine.
Yeah. I don't mean my first experience of running with people. So,
yeah, maybe you'll love it, Carl. Maybe you'll be like, hated that. But I find I tend to go a little bit faster and enjoy it more when I run with other people. But we'll see.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Well, I will see you next week.
I'll see you next week. I'm off to go and do a run. I'm just trying to, I'm not going to lie, I've been slightly distracted because I've been trying to think about where I'm going to stash my phone.
I'm having that today as well. I don't have any pockets, so I'm just thinking whether I just go without things. Yeah,
have leggings with pockets.
I know, but they always have a thigh pocket. But if you have a thigh pocket, then they fall down during. I find that the phone drags them down.
It needs your tie and your thigh pocket. Otherwise, you're screwed.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Next week. The longest episode in the history of this podcast.
Indeed. Right. Yes.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Carl. Have a lovely one.
Thank you. I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Well, thanks for joining us. I can't believe that this is the penultimate episode. We'll see you for one more next week and you can find out exactly how Cara's run went. Fingers crossed. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. And hopefully this is the start of a very exciting running career for her. Not in the intense sort of Eliud Kipchoge way. We're not expecting any of us to be elite runners anytime soon, but just that she will enjoy running forever now. Fingers crossed, that would be the dream. I'd really love if that's how she felt about it, though we will see, because she has been finding the uplift to the slightly longer 30-minute runs quite tricky. So check in with her again next week, find out how she's doing and how she's got on with that 5K run. Massive congrats as per to any of you nearing the end of the plan as well, whether you've done the 5K or not. And yeah, tune in on Thursday to our other pod. Check out the show notes for that lovely £3.50 magazine subscription and take very good care of yourselves. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.